those that didn't know, Lloyd was in Colorado at the heart specialist, and his kidneys shut down. And because his kidneys shut down, and because of all the other complications he has, dialysis is not available. So the doctor gave him a week to 2 weeks before the failed kidneys will take him. And so if you want to go see him, I would suggest that you do it soon, because we don't know how quickly he'll go, and we don't know how. Right now he's in reasonably good spirits and he can talk. He can't move. He can't even get up anymore or set up. And so just, I was going to put it in a text message yesterday, and then I decided, you know, that's not going to cover this. And so I thought I'd wait till this morning. But I forgot that we wasn't having sharing time, so it kind of messed that up. But anyway, I just wanted you to all know what was going on. And Pam's here, and she brought him back last night. He didn't get back to Tribune until just before midnight last night. And so he is over in Tribune, and that's all I can tell you. He's resting this morning, so just thought I'd let you know what was going on. Now, we have been speaking. Last week we was talking about being laid bare and how the good Lord makes that happen once in a while and allows us to get a better idea of who we are and how we are doing as far as He's concerned. Now, this morning, I think that we're going to step in a little deeper than that, because this morning we're going to read out of Lamentations, and we're going to read chapter 1, start with verse 1, so we can get an idea what it really means to be laid bare. If we go far enough to force God to make a change. Now, I think sometimes we have this idea that we have been laid bare, or we have had enough trials in our lives or whatever, but I'm not sure that we always stop and realize when God's speaking to us. Now, God sent a lot of prophets, and He sent a lot of people. And He made sure that Moses told the people what would happen if they would turn away from Him. And then He sends all these prophets expecting to, or hoping that the people would turn and repent and come back to Him. And now we are in that place where God has destroyed Jerusalem. He has either exiled or chased people out, or they fled for their lives. They are no longer there. And right in the middle of this, we have Lamentations. And so we're going to read verse 1 through 7. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations, she who was queen among the provinces, has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night, tears are upon her cheeks. Among all her lovers there is none to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads of Zion mourn for no one comes to her appointed feasts. All her gateways are desolate. Her priests groan. Her maidens grieve. And she is in bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captivity before the foe. All the splendor has departed from the daughter of Zion. Her princes are like deer and find no pasture. In weakness they have fled before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction, the wandering Jerusalem remembers all the treasures that were hers in the days of old. When her people fell into enemy hands, there was no one to help her. Her enemy looked at her and laughed at her destruction. Pretty morbid thought process, isn't it? And you know, once in a while, we feel that way. I'm sure Lloyd's family feels somewhat like that this morning. They're losing something that means something great to them. And we've all been there. We've all lost loved ones. We've all had times where we really thought God should have took over. God should have made a difference. And we don't understand why God allows these things to happen. Now, in Lloyd's case, it's just a matter of time. At his age, it's a matter of time. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. We have young people that pass away. We have all kinds of trials in our lives. And in those big ones, we do stop and we really ask God what's going on. But what happens if it isn't a big trial? What happens if it isn't that you've lost a loved one? What happens if it isn't that you've got completely hailed out? What happens if it isn't one of those types of tragedies? Let's say you're just having a rough day. Is that just because you got up this morning? You know, the Bible tells us that God is always with us. And I think once in a while, when things aren't quite going our way, we get this idea that God has forsaken us. Just like Jeremiah speaking here in Lamentations. He's sure God has walked away from the children of Israel. He's sure that they have done something that caused that. I'm not always sure that we have done something when we stop and think that God is not as close as we would like Him to be. You know, when our day just isn't working out, when things aren't going our way and we're driving down the road and the front wheel falls off of our vehicle, you know, we're sitting there going, well, why did this happen to me? I didn't do anything wrong. Maybe not. But do you ever look at it that way? Do we ever really stop and allow God to quietly bring us to that point where we have to realize where we're at? You know, during the Lenten season, it's that time to inspect our hearts. It's that time to allow God to speak through life to us. If we never take time to really allow God to speak through those minor problems we have, I'm fully aware because of what happens in the Bible in the Old Testament, that sooner or later, God's going to start shouting. If He can't get our attention on the small things throughout life, through daily life, sooner or later, God will shout. And He'll get our attention. He will every time. See, I think as Christians, a lot of times, we just assume, well, that's the way life is, and God allows it, and you know, we don't really stop and think, well, what's my part in this? Because we know that we've said the prayer. We know that we are saved. We know that God is in our court. God was in the children of Israel's court. God stuck beside them for a very long time after they started making mistakes, after they had decided that they was going to serve other gods, as they decided not to follow Him and do what He had asked them to do. And He sent little problems along. He sent droughts and hail, warriors, fire. He tried to get their attention. He actually even sent prophets to tell them that, hey, you guys are headed in the wrong direction. You guys need to stop and realize that this is wrong. We wonder why our country is in the shape it is today. And it's because our people have forgotten to follow God. You know, the Bible tells us if we humble ourselves, He'll heal our land, doesn't it? But we have to do something else, right? We have to pray, right? And then we wonder why everything's going haywire. Well, we all have a part in that. I'm not saying we're bad people. I believe we're still all Christians. Don't get me wrong here. But repentance has nothing to do with just salvation. Repentance only means that we're going to change our mind. It doesn't mean we've done something so bad that we actually need help from God. It doesn't mean that we need new salvation. It doesn't mean we need the Holy Spirit to completely change our lives. No. It can just mean that we need to rethink the situation. It can mean that we need to stop and look at ourselves and see those things in our lives that doesn't quite make God as happy as He wants us to be. Because at the end of the day, that's where we all want to be. We want to know that we are okay with God and that God's okay with us. If we really truly believe that we're Christians, we want to make sure that is true. And if things aren't exactly the way they ought to be, and you're having too many flat tires when you're going to town, or too many squealing belts in your car, Maybe God just wants you to stop and think. Maybe God would have you to stop and really inspect your life in such a way that you might want to change something or change a thought process. Because as Christians, we are found in this place. God finds us in this mess of sin and despair over here. And from there, He wants us to grow to be able to be with Him in heaven. Now, that doesn't happen just boom over here. It doesn't just happen that all of a sudden, when He finds us down here in the gutter, that we automatically, all of a sudden, are okay to go to heaven. Why did He leave us here? Now, I'm not going to tell you He left us here because He wants to be mean to you. He didn't leave us here because He wanted us to suffer. He left us here because we have a job to do. He left us here to be disciples, to be the prophets, so to speak, for those around us. But we can't be a prophet if we never grow out of that spot down there. If all we ever do is pray to God that we have salvation or a little fire insurance, if you will. If that's all we ever do and we don't grow as Christians, if we don't allow God to move us from this point to that point, are we doing what He wants us to do? Really? I don't think so. And that's what I'm talking about. Each time we make a step from here to here to here to here to here, every time that takes repentance. It takes us to change our direction. Change how we do something. Change how we see God. Change how we see others. Because no matter how you end up down here, no matter where you start down here, you're never down here ready to help those around you. You're still worried about you. As we grow in love and grace with God, as we make changes in our lives, as we repent and switch our thinking, we grow closer to God. We don't have to be in that place. We do not have to be where Jeremiah is in Lamentations. We don't have to be in total grief because those around us have done such a poor job of following God. But we do have to stop and realize that it is a journey. It's a journey from one change to another. It's a journey to allow God to reach down and grab those roots of bitterness, disgust, what have you, that we started out down here. That's why we made the decision. Because our lives were not what we knew God wanted it to be. We knew that we was never going to get to heaven being that person. And all God wants to do is grow us little by little root by root. It's kind of like digging dandelions in the front yard. How many have ever done that? When I was a kid, I was between my eighth grade and freshman year. My folks bought this really nice house in town and decided we was going to move to town, right? And I was going to get to go to high school in town. Well, they forgot to tell me that this really nice house in town turned yellow almost once a week. I've never seen so many dandelions in all my life. And so we buy this thing, and the spring rains come, and I get done with eighth grade. They left me out thranched to do eighth grade. You know, they moved to town. I stayed. Somebody had to feed the cows on the way to school every day. And then they decided, hey, you know, we got this lawn work we have to do. And every few days, I would go to town and dig dandelions for hours on end. And I'd think, wow, I got them. This is a done deal. And so then I'd go back out the ranch and I'd ride horses and take care of cattle and do those kinds of things. And then I'd catch the mailman, and he would haul me back to town. And lo and behold, I'd walk up there and this yard is yellow again. Well, God thinks of us that way also. We all have those roots or those dandelions growing. Those things that aren't quite perfect in our lives. And we need to repent or change our thinking. Not that we've done anything super bad. We haven't went out and killed anybody. We haven't done any of those kind of things. But at the same time, have we really stopped and fasted? Have we really stopped and prayed? Have we really read our Bibles to learn what it really said? Have we taken time to really chew on His Word? And each time He pulls out a dandelion, our lives get better. I'm not saying that they're perfect. I'm not saying that we are singing Hosanna. I'm just saying that He is changing our lives bit by bit. And when our lives aren't going exactly the way they ought to be, is He speaking to us? Is He talking to us? Is He trying to get our attention? See, I think that's what's wrong with the world today. That's why Marvel was talking about displaced people. God is working. And if the only way He can get people to stop and think about what's going on, He's going to displace somebody. It may be a loved one. It may be a whole nation. But if He wants us to really see what's going on in a situation, He's going to open our eyes. And sometimes He's going to do it quietly. Sometimes it's just like, okay, why didn't I make it to the movies last week? I planned on going. I was all ready to go. I backed out of my garage and drove over a can of paint. Now, some of us have really done that kind of thing, right? And you have to clean up that mess right then. You can't just leave. And so you don't get to get there. You don't get to do the thing you wanted to do. Well, why didn't God want you there? Was it just your stupidity for putting it there? That's how I usually look at it at first. See, I don't think we allow God to whisper to us. Or we'd understand those things. I think God starts whispering. And then he starts talking. And then he gets a little loud. And the next thing you know, he's real loud and you're starting to make changes. But by then it hurts. That's why it's a lot better to take time to inspect our hearts, inspect our lives. Are we treating everybody the way that God would treat them? Are we treating them with the same grace and love so they know we are Christians, right? The Bible says if we love one another, they'll know, right? That we're followers of His. And that's the only way they're going to know. Are we really loving on everybody? Do we have that unity, that love, that thing that just overflows outside of us? If not, is God speaking to us? This next week, let's stop and allow God time to speak through the little things. Allow God to speak into our lives with whispers. Not screams, not hollering, not punishment. But allow God to actually speak into our lives and understand the things He'd like to see changed. It's a great time of year to do that. You know, some of us gave up this, that, and the other thing. Some of us are fasting and praying. Some of us just gave up chocolate. Some of us probably should have gave up the little phone. Yeah. That would have been a great idea. I've thought about that. But then how would Carol ever know where I was at? She really loves it the days that she calls me and it rings beside her. She thinks that's wonderful. We need to learn to do that, though. Allow God to call us and actually hear. Call us and let us know. So as we go through this week, let's work a little harder at being in that continual thought process of prayer, allowing God to speak to us rather than us tell God what we want. Because I think that makes a difference. I don't want to end up like Jeremiah. I don't want for this church to be flattened, so to speak, before I hear God. I want to be able to do it while it's quiet, while it's peaceful, while I'm sure that He is still in my corner. I don't like it when He starts hollering at me. He's done that. Let us allow God to be God. Let's be obedient. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to You and we do thank You, Lord, for watching over us. We thank You for helping us to walk the way we ought to walk, to go where we ought to go. Help us to learn that to repent of the small things is just a change in our lives. Help us to realize that we're just changing our thought processes. We're just allowing You to move us from one rung to another as we climb the ladder closer to You. As we move our lives in our will closer to Yours. And so this week, Lord, we just ask that you speak to us quietly, subdued. Help us to hear. Help us to hear that whisper. Help us to see and understand where you are speaking to us, allowing us to be your children, adopted into your family. And so this morning, Lord, just walk with us as we leave this place and fill our hearts with your love and joy. Help us to exude that grace and love to those around us. And we ask all this in your precious name. Amen.